Welcome to In My Own Words, where we stand on our opinions like Texans stand for making everything bigger. Really? You couldn't handle the snow? Let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, to episode 65 of the In My Own Words podcast. At least that's what episode I think it is. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm a little discombobulated for a couple of different reasons this week. Number one, you may notice that there are some changes going on around here. I'm still in the garage. That's not changing. We're still live from the garage. It's still 18 degrees outside. But you may see some new equipment. You probably can't tell that I have new lighting because I don't have it all set up just yet. Some things are in place, but not there. And I'm going to be honest. I didn't think that I was going to be able to get a podcast out to you guys this Thursday. Thursday is the day I want to focus in on the podcast dropping every week on a Thursday. 8 a.m. audio, 12 noon, 12:30, somewhere in that range for video. I didn't think it was going to happen because I quit my job. I was working at a place. I won't say the company's name. Great people there. Great opportunity. But an opportunity came along that was more in line with what I see my career trajectory being. And so I left. But with leaving, I had to do a lot of transitioning things and making sure that they had all their old equipment back and making sure this was there and this was there. And I'm going to be honest. Some of the equipment I bought while I worked at that company looked exactly like some of the old equipment that I already had, right? When we did the walkthrough of what equipment we should buy, I was like, oh, we should buy one of those because I have one of those and it works already. And they were against me using my own equipment. And so some of that stuff I couldn't find anymore. So I just gave them my old stuff. I'm sure they have two of my microphones now instead of the one that I bought. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, there's so much going on. My life has been so crazy. I had to get some new stuff shipped in. I wanted to upgrade my microphone. I wanted to buy some different lights and upgrade those from the old lights that I used to use. And so there's a lot of changes going on, a lot of things going on. But we're here back for another episode of In My Own Words on a Thursday. You may see two camera angles this episode, depending on how this edit goes. If you're watching this on YouTube and you only see one camera angle, that means the edit didn't go well at all. Not how I thought. But if you see two camera angles, you got something going on. I want to start giving you guys a bigger glimpse into the space I am. I really am in my garage. People see the fancy backdrop and they don't think I'm in my garage, but I'm really in my garage. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see that today as well. But I need to get stuff cleaned up out here, and then I'll give you guys a full tour of the Gallo Media Empire. It all started like other great companies start, in a garage. Recording this late in the night. Like I said, things have just been crazy. You can tell because normally I would have my tea or my coffee, and this isn't either. I won't tell you what it is, but it's neither one of those. Not water either. It's wine. You got me. It's wine. It's wine time. It's also podcast time. So welcome to the show. Hope you guys are enjoying yourself. Man, we got a lot to talk about. Rush Limbaugh passed away. We got to talk about that. The season finale of Your Honor. I definitely want to talk about that. And of course, coming up, we have more marriage advice that nobody asked for. I got a message from a friend the other day that said that it's his favorite segment of the show. And, you know, I try to keep it fresh, introduce new segments, bring new ideas to the podcast. Some stay, some don't. But that one is one I think are going to stay for a while because I'm having fun with it. And the people that I've heard from are enjoying it as well. So I like to keep putting out content like that. So, but before we get into that, I got to tell you guys, I have a confession to make. I have something to reveal. I need to bring this to my podcast audience. I have a neighbor that no matter what I do, he tries to do the same thing. Let me see if I can explain that in a better way. When we first moved in, I would go outside and I would mow the lawn. And within minutes, he would come out of his house and mow the lawn too. I would go and get a package or go to the mailbox. And I would come back in and I would look. And within minutes, he would go outside and get his mailbox and get his package or whatever the case may be. That sounds crazy. I'm going to get my package. He's going to get his package. Not that crazy. but Everything I would do, this guy would mimic. I swear, if I'd go out and rake leaves, he's going to rake leaves. If I go out and shovel snow, he's going to shovel snow. And it's been like this for years. We've been in this house since, I think, 2015, maybe 16. So, you know, 5 or 6 years, something like that. And all the time. It doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's snowing out. I'd go outside and play in the front with my kids. And he'd come outside with a ball. This is no lie. He'd come outside, hey, I noticed that you got 4 kids, but you only have 3 kickballs. Here's another one. It's like, yeah. How many kickballs do we need? There's no lie. He does this all the time, right? So it snows here, like it snowed everywhere. The winter storm that has taken over the United States of America. It snows. And I said, you know, I got to go out and, you know, shovel the driveway because my wife is determined to go to the grocery store today. I don't know what it is. Maybe she needed a break from the family and just didn't want to say it. Maybe we were out of groceries. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you guys. That's not my department. When I go to look for something to eat, it's always something there. When the kids go, there's never anything there. It doesn't matter if we just went shopping. They never have anything to eat. I always have something to eat. So I don't know. But she was determined to go to the grocery store. And so as a man and as her husband, I wanted to make sure the driveway was clear. So in the middle of my day, after my last meeting of the day and in between some online things that I had to do, I go to get the shovel and I start to shovel the driveway. Now I don't have a snowblower, unfortunately. I don't have a snow plow in the back of my pickup. I don't have a pickup truck. So I'm out there just doing it by hand, old school, right? And I have a good snow shovel. That's a hard one to say. I have a good snow shovel. So I go out there with my snow shovel and I'm expecting to look across the street within minutes and see him shoveling his driveway. And so I shovel for a few minutes and I don't hear him. I shovel for a few more minutes and I still don't hear him. And so I look up in his direction at his house and his entire driveway was shoveled clean. It looked like it never snowed. I mean, it was perfect. It was pristine. The ice was gone. There was a level of ice under the snow. The ice was gone. It was perfect. It looked like there wasn't a driveway there. And then he put a driveway there in the middle of the snowstorm and made his driveway look perfect. He even shoveled the sidewalks to go all the way from his house all the way to his neighbor's house. Now, our mail person doesn't get out of their vehicle and walk the sidewalk. I know that's normally why a lot of people do it. You know, the kids got to walk to the bus or the snow, you know, the male person, male lady, male man comes through. We don't have any of that going on in our situation. We have the only school-age kids in the neighborhood that I know of. Maybe one other family does. But he shoveled all of that. And I was upset. He didn't wait for me to do it. He did it, and he did it better than me. Better than I had time to do it. Better than the effort that I was going to give it. And he didn't even wait for me. All this time, I've been complaining about him being a copycat and being a Mr. Me Too. And if I go out to power wash the house, here he comes with his power washer, power washing the house. Well, 5, 6 years into this relationship, he just stops. This close to Valentine's Day, he just stops. He did it before me. He didn't wait for me. I think me and my neighbor are breaking up. And now I don't know what to do with my feelings, so I'm bringing them here to you, the In My Own Words podcast family. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do now. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys. I don't know what it means. I don't know why I feel away. I want to go talk to him. Should I go talk to him? I wish we could do a poll. I'm thinking about, I have a Discord that I've only used once or twice, but I'm thinking about doing a podcast Discord so that all of you who listen to the show, we can have one big like podcast group chat and Discord. This is one of the things I would ask you guys. You know, have you listened to the episode today? Let me know what you think about this poll. Should I go talk to my neighbor? It's one of those unspoken relationships. Like we just had an agreement. We had an understanding. And when I come out of my house and I do something at my house, you do the same thing at yours. When I clean my gutters, you clean your gutters. Okay? When I get the grass that tries to grow up in between the concrete and the driveway, when I get that out of here, you get yours out of here. We keep the property value around here up because we're both working on our house at the same time. When I remove a tree in my backyard, we're doggone it, you better remove a tree in your backyard. That's the agreement we had. It was a part of the purchasing agreement with the home, and now he's moved on, and I don't know how to take it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. So if you have any advice, tweet me at Tony R. Sanders and let me know what I should do. Should I talk to my neighbor about this breakup that he's not addressing? He's not addressing. I don't have any closure. I need closure. Okay. Interesting question. And I don't know the answer, but I would love to ponder and pontificate about the answer with you all here. Rush Limbaugh passed away. Does everyone deserve a rest in peace? That's a tough question to ask, right? Because your mind instantly goes to, well, someone died, and that is a fact. But a big part of your legacy when you die is how you lived. And if you didn't live in a way that doesn't make people want to say rest in peace to you, should they have to? Every week, right, I do my little podcast list, and I have a RIP section. It's been happening every week. Death has been happening so much, unfortunately, that I think someone could start a podcast called RIP, where they just read the list of notable names of people who died that week. And they could come out with a new episode every week dating back to a year ago. It's unfortunate. Rest in peace to Nicki Minaj's father, who passed away in a hit and run accident. We'll talk about hit and runs a little bit later, but that's such a sad, tragic way to lose a loved one. I just heard today about another death of a friend who lost their loved one instantly. Like, just happened, boom, gone. Like, life over. But when you're a character like Rush Limbaugh, who I believe is a character, do you deserve a rest in peace from everyone? Or should you keep the same energy you had for that person when they were alive? Maybe that's a better question. How long does beef go? When you have a disagreement with someone, when you don't particularly like someone, when you don't agree on certain things, or you have a feeling that this person has been negative towards you or even hateful and hurtful towards you, how long does that beef last? Is it till death do us part with beef? That's what it is with marriage, right? It's till death do us part, right? I love my wife. I wouldn't mind spending the next lifetime with her as it stands now. But if some things mess up in the future, I don't know if I want her following me to the afterlife to remind me of how I messed up in the current life. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of okay with marriage being till death do us part. Think of you, for those of you who are married out there or previously married, think about your first husband or your first wife or your current husband or wife, if they followed you to the afterlife and that was your soulmate literally. I don't know. I think that till death do us part is a good policy to follow. But does that go with hatred? Does that go with someone who has declared themselves your enemy? I see a lot of interesting tweets about Rush Limbaugh. And I understand the type of man that he was when he was here. At least the type of man he pretended to be publicly. Right. You know, I think that we find situations all the time where someone is pretending to be one way publicly and then things start to come out later that they're not really that way. Unfortunately, some people pretend to be really, really mean and hateful things. I'm thinking about the girl. What's the girl's name? Tommy Lauren. You know, she was doing all this super far right wing conservative media, and I don't even like to call it conservative media, but that's the label that everyone's put on it, because I'm a very conservative person, but I don't agree with anything she ever says. You know what I mean? She's just way beyond conservative. She's just right wing to the end, till there's no more right wing to go to. But it came out that she wasn't as flamboyant and as strong to the right side of the line as she pretended to be for Blaze or whatever news organization she was working for at the time. Is that the case with Rush Limbaugh? I don't know. I don't think so. Some of the things that he said historically in the sports arena, especially about NFL players, about NBA players, especially in the leagues, the two leagues that are most predominantly black, saying that the NBA should change their name from NBA to TBA because it should be the Thug Basketball Association. And they should change the team names from teams to gangs because it's the Bloods versus the Crips every night out there. And I don't want to spew out all this Rush Limbaugh rhetoric and even give any more light to it than it's already received over the years. You didn't need me to know, you know, Rush Limbaugh and some of his ideology. But do you give that up when he dies? Do you give that up and still say, you know what, that was a man, he lived, he died, and regardless of how he lived, I'm going to have respect for the dead and say rest in peace. I can tell you right now, some people don't want him to rest in peace. Some people said, you gave us hell when you were here on earth, so I hope that's where you're headed. I've seen it all day, and it just proposes an interesting thing to me of when does beef stop? Does everybody deserve a rest in peace? Is this a case of just plain old human decency? Like, even though you're wearing a decent human to me, I'm going to be a decent human to you and just say rest in peace because you're gone and you passed away. And that's not even to get into some of his family members who may loved him but not agree with his rhetoric. Do you feel for them in a certain way? Or do you say, no, I don't feel bad for you either because you should have checked him on his bullcrap that he was spewing online. You should have disowned your family member because of all the hatred that he spewed. Everybody has a death date, man. I really believe the way that you live determines whether you should get a rest in peace or not. A rest in peace or nah. I don't know. Interesting question. I thought I'd bring it to the pod. I don't have the answer. I normally don't like bringing up things without a resolution, but I don't have an answer. I don't know. What do you think? Does everybody deserve a rest in peace? Or does Rush Limbaugh deserve a rest in peace or a Rush in peace? I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't said it yet. Not that it matters to him or anybody that cares, but it's definitely a conflict because loss of life is sad every time for me. I don't care what the person did. It's a sad moment. Not that it's going to ruin my day or I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm going to be immobilized and not be able to do what I need to do and move how I need to move. But it's just like, whatever, however you ran your race, it's over now. It's over and you got to deal with that. So there it is. I just wanted to throw that out there. Speaking of living the life that you live and the decisions that you make and how you run your race, Your Honor. We got to talk about the TV show Your Honor. Now, this TV show stars Bryan Cranston and a couple other people that are in the show. I don't know their names right off the top of my head. I feel like I should, but I just don't. But he's the main star. He's a judge in the show. Now, I want to do this review in a couple of different ways, right? And I got to talk to you about the show because I've watched a lot of things that had a big impact on me. I watched a great movie, Judas and the Black Messiah. I would definitely recommend you go check that out. I want to talk about that more in length. I've been watching Jersey Shore, Family Vacation. They had Dr. Drew on an episode. We got to talk about that at some point too. But I want to talk to you guys about Your Honor because it struck me on several different levels. First of all, it's an amazing show. Now, if you haven't seen the show, I want to do two reviews. I want to do a review for you if you haven't seen the show that will make you want to go watch the show. And then I want to do a review for those of you who watch the show. So let me try to do this. I don't know. I didn't plan this. I didn't have this written down. I'm kind of going on the fly, but I don't want to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. So I want to give you a little bit of something. Then you can pause the podcast, go back and watch it, and come back and listen to this. But if you've seen it already, you should watch it all the way through, especially if you've seen the finale. This show is about a judge who is, from all accounts, a very honorable guy. He tries to do the right thing by people, even when that right thing may seem difficult or you may have to go out of your way to do the right thing. He tries to do right by people, and we get to see that very, very early. And I won't tell you how we get to see that, But we get to see that very, very early. And that guy has a son who also seems like a good son. He's doing things that, God forbid, if I were ever put in the situation that they were in, he's doing things that you would want a son to do. And there are certain things that they do in the series that make you feel for him early. You don't know a lot of details. You don't have a lot of information. But they write it and present it in a way that makes you feel for him early. You feel, you kind of love him. I don't want to say you feel sorry for him, but you love him, right? And then as soon as you love him, things go awry quickly for him, for the son. And as all parents know, when you love your kid and they make decisions in life, those decisions impact you most times more than it does the kid, because you're the shield in front of the kid trying to make sure that the kid doesn't feel the full blow of what they did. Right? There have been plenty of times where my kids do something wrong and I step in and I say, wait. I'm going to teach them a lesson. I'm going to make sure that they know, but I'm going to deal with you. You're not going to deal with my kid. And that is how this show starts. And because of the dad stepping in to deal with something that his kid did, everything goes crazy. And it is an amazing ride of right and wrong. It's an amazing ride of guilty versus innocent. It's an amazing ride of the system versus the people. And I think that's all I can say. I think that's all I can say for a review if you haven't seen the show. So this is my non-spoiler alert review. You should watch this show because it's a great example of the links all parents, all good parents are willing to go to for their children and the impact of that, right? As opposed to letting your kids fend for themselves. It also shows a good example of the people versus the system. The people versus the system. That's what this show, Your Honor, is about. Okay. If you've watched the show, you should still be here. If you have not watched the show, you should leave now. I'm going to give you a second to do that while I sip my beverage. Okay, y'all think they gone yet? Y'all think they gone? Okay, let's talk about this show, man. Okay, when I watch this show, I'll tell you how I was introduced to the show. Showtime has been getting a lot of my money lately because I didn't have Showtime because I feel like what's going on with streaming companies right now, they are nickel and diming us to death, just like the cable companies were. Every day, a new streaming service pops up, and it's $4.99 for this and $6.99 for that. And on the surface, it looks great. But then when you add it all up, you're back to paying $200 to watch what you want to watch again. That was the whole point of cutting the cord. I wanted this to not be so expensive, right? And so, it's funny that cable was trying to give us the entire entree, right? You got your protein, you got your carbs, and they were trying to give us this full 5-course meal. And we kept saying, it's too expensive. It's too expensive. Your meals are too expensive. We want a la carte. And then they gave us a la carte, and we put everything on our plates. It's like a buffet line. We just went and got a little bit of everything. They even tried to get me with the Discovery Channel the other day. You know how disgusted I was getting an ad with the Discovery Channel? No, get out of here. I don't want to see Chip and Joanna Gaines that bad. They hit me with a My 600-Pound Life commercial. You think that's going to get $5 from me? You think that's going to get $5 from me? Anyway, Showtime has been different because they've been putting out content that I want to see. The Comedy Store documentary was on Showtime. There was a documentary on Showtime for Motown, Hitsville. We talked about that last week. And so as I'm watching these documentaries, of course, you know, they have free access until this date with the documentary, or free access until this date with this. So I'm watching these things for free without giving them any money. It's just on the TV. You can watch it without signing up, without doing anything. But of course, before the bumpers, before the documentary, after the documentary, in some cases in between episodes, they're showing you previews of other shows. So here I am minding my business, watching a great documentary, which is one of my favorite things to do. I have a couple more that I on my list that I need to watch. And this show comes up and I see Bryan Cranston running. And I like Bryan Cranston. So I'm like, oh, I'm paying attention now. You got me. And then I see in the trailer, this kid just obliterate another kid on a motorcycle. I see a kid not paying attention to the road, and he just runs clean over another kid. And then it flashes forward, and he's home. He's talking to his dad, who's a judge, you find out. And he said, "Dad, I killed a man." And then action ensues. Everything takes off. And they got me hooked, and I'm like, oh, snap. How do they get out of this one? I think we talked about this before because I spend time writing scripts and trying to understand how TV shows work and how movies work. And I want to produce a film and I have an idea for a show. And one of the things I've learned is no matter what type of show it is, you always have to back your characters into a corner and then see how they get out of it. That's always the most interesting thing about any show you've ever thought of is this person gets backed into a corner. Sometimes the corner is funny. Sometimes the corner is dramatic. It's serious. It's scary. You know, but they get backed into this corner. You do this with your characters. And then you have to see how they get out of it. So now I got to see how the judge gets his son out of the corner of killing somebody, a hit and run. I got to see it. So I said to myself, I'm going to watch one episode of this and just see if I like it. And if I like it, maybe I'll think about getting Showtime. Maybe I'll bookmark it and I'll think about getting Showtime. So here it is, Sunday night. It's Valentine's Day. Me and my wife have just spent the entire weekend together. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We, you know, got a nice hotel downtown, the Hyatt Regency. We went out to this restaurant, that, but, you know, we had a blast. So we had a great time. So at this point, we're back home. We're chilling. We're watching TV. We're getting caught up. Hey, do you want to watch Married at First Sight? Hey, let's watch a little Jersey Shore. We're watching our shows. And she says, I think I'm going to take a nap. You can watch whatever you want to watch, right? So now I got permission. Fellas, you know how it is when you get permission to do something in your house. It's like the greatest day ever. It's like, I'm leaving. You can control the thermostat now. You're like, what? Yes, 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 right? So, okay, I can watch whatever I want. I'm going to put on this show, Your Honor, that I'm going to watch one episode of. So I turn it on, and she says, what are you watching? Now, I have to back up and say that I had just watched a psychological thriller with Denzel called The Little Things with Denzel and Jared Leto. And that movie was trippy. And so we transitioned from that. I think I'd also watched the autobiography of Malcolm X or something with Denzel and Spike Lee. So we transitioned from the psychological thriller of The Little Things into this TV show that seems very dark. The way it's color graded is dark. You know, I do videos, so I get nerdy with all that stuff. It looks eerie. The music sounds weird. Even though happy things are happening, the music sounds weird. And you see this guy all excited about giving his son this vintage motorcycle, right? And you could tell in your gut, like way in here, that something's going to go wrong. But everything's nice. So she says, what are you watching? I said, I don't know. It's some show called Your Honor, right? Now, mind you, I've seen the trailer. I know at some point he's going to kill somebody. But the trailer kind of showed he hit someone, but they didn't really show the details. Man, when he actually... So the judge... Let me slow down. The judge kid leaves home. He goes to his mother's death site on the one-year anniversary of her death to place a pitcher and flowers down. The problem is, this is in gang territory in a side of town that he has no business being on. So he puts these pitchers down, and when he looks up, he's surrounded by gang members. So obviously, the first thing you do is book it to the car, and you're out of there, right? So he does that, and in his haste, he panics. And in his panic, he starts to have an asthma attack. And that's one of the things that they do early in this to make you feel for this kid. Because this kid, even though you don't know he lost his mother yet, he instantly, you see him, and he's lost someone who he loves. You could tell that right out of the gate. So that makes you feel for him. You identify with that. And then on top of that, he's fearful because he's in a neighborhood with some guys who are, without a doubt, looking to kill him. Or at least hurt him really bad. So you make you feel for him on that level. So in his panic, he rose. And then you find out he has asthma. Oh, my God. Someone help this kid. I love this kid. Help this kid. And then as he's reaching for his inhaler, boom, he runs over a kid on the motorcycle. The kid that you saw in one of the opening scenes, you know, getting this bike from his dad. He runs over this kid. And they did not spare a detail on how he ran over this kid. The trailer didn't show me this. The trailer didn't show me there's going to be a leg over there and an arm this way and the shoes over there and it spit blood up out of his mouth. And they didn't tell me all that. They didn't tell me that the kid was going to get out of the car and like stick his fingers in his mouth. And, you know, and I was shocked by that. It's episode 1, 5 minutes in, and my wife is like, what is this? Now she can't sleep. I'm leaning forward on my elbows trying to figure out what is happening. And so he's trying to help the guy, but he's still nervous. He can't breathe. The kid is dying. He finds his cell phone. He calls 911, but neither of them can talk. He can't talk because he's having an asthma attack. The other guy can't talk because he's choking on his own blood. So all you hear is this wincing and panting and trying to gasp for air and a kid choking on his own blood. The 911 operator is trying to ping the location, trying to get information. He can't do anything. Then the boy from the motorcycle dies. And the kid that was driving, his name's Adam, he's still alive. And he's watching this, right? And the only pain he has other than not being able to breathe is he bruises his shoulder or chest, something like that. So he's watching this kid die. He tried to help him. He can't help him. He realizes what has happened. And instinctually, out of nerves, he decides to leave him. I tried to call 911. I can't breathe. I can't talk. I can't find my inhaler. He's dead. I'm in a bad neighborhood. There's a vehicle behind us. I got a boogie. And so he leaves him. But when he tries to leave him, he realizes that he ran out of gas. He has no gas in his tank. Now, first of all, why would you go into a bad neighborhood, even if it is to honor your mom's death, with no gas in the tank? Rule number one of visiting the hood is that you get gas before you go there. You don't get gas in the hood. I don't care how cheap those prices are. It is a trick. You don't get gas in the hood. You get gas, then you go to the hood, and then you get out. You don't even turn your car off in the hood if you're going to run, you know, keep... It's rules to this. He broke the rules. So he has to stop and get gas. And of course, the gas has cameras. The gas station has cameras and that catches him. And so all this stuff has to come to a head at some point. Now he goes home. He tells his dad, hey, dad, I killed someone. His dad comes home, you know, thinking a normal day. He sees something's not right with his son. He's checking the vibe. Dad, I killed somebody. So his dad, being the honorable, respectable man that they showed us he is, takes him to the police station, calls a couple friends, no one could answer, takes to the police station, and to his son's credit, at this point, he's still the good son that we would hope he would be. He's all for it. He says, yep, I need to turn myself in. Here's the deal. Like, he packs his bag. I don't know. He took a bag like he was going to stay overnight at a camp or something. I don't think you're going to be able to use that bag in jail, sir. Yes, his dad. Am I going to be able to get bail? Probably not, right? But they're going to work it out. His dad's a judge. How could they not work this out? Then everything takes a turn when the dad walks into the police station, tells his son to stay in the car, walks into the police station to meet some of his friends that he knows who are detectives, and he is able to see the family of the kid that his son hit and killed. And that family just so happens to be the crime boss of the area, the Baxter family, the biggest crime boss, mob boss in the land. Nope. Now I can't turn my son in because you're definitely going to kill him. Forget the trial. Forget having his chance at law and trying to explain that he couldn't breathe and that impaired his thinking. No, no, no. Your life is going to be impaired. Because now I'm killing you and your son and the dog and the mother-in-law and everybody involved. So, dad bolts. Comes back out. Kid's getting out the car saying, okay, dad, I'm ready to turn myself in. He says, son, get back in the car. The kid that you killed is a mob boss son. We got to go. And so from that, drama ensues. They are on the run, and the judge is trying to do everything that he can to keep his son not only out of jail, which his son was like down to go to jail. I've never seen somebody more ready to go to jail, but also out of the grave. And then you start to see the domino effect. Now, if you've seen the show, I don't need to explain all this to you, but I wanted to lay a good platform and a good baseline. Here are some of the funny things and problems that I saw with the show. Funny thing number one is this. Did you notice that almost every scene the son was in after that, there was a motorcycle in the scene? Did you notice that? Go back and watch it. When the son, Adam, was in scenes with other people, whether it was his teacher or his girlfriend, he's an idiot, started dating the sister, or whether he went to here or there. Did you notice how many times he was in a scene with a motorcycle? Now, at first, the first three times, I thought it was a coincidence. I thought it was funny. At the 10th time, I said, okay, I see what they're doing. They're doing this as a part of symbolism. Because no matter where he goes, he has to carry the weight of this fatal mistake that he made. So I thought that was funny. Some of the problems I had with the show is when you watch a show like this, at least for me, I'm always looking to see the diversity in the show. You can't have a TV show shot in New Orleans and not show black people. So I was wondering like how this is going to be shown. And then I started to see how they were showing black people, and they were all gang members. There wasn't one black person in this show that was not a gang member. I know what you're saying. No, no, no. The guy, the mayor. No, no, no. He was corrupt. He was connected to the gang. He's the one that the dad called to get rid of the car and all the evidence. He's the one that's responsible, partly, for the whole family that died. They got their house blew up. Because he didn't want to put in the call to make the gang members go and steal the car, and it started this whole chain of events. So every black person in the show was a criminal. Not, I stumbled into some criminality. No, hardened criminals. I know when you're thinking that the one lady who ended up kind of cracking the case, she was Creole. So maybe you give us that. But that portrayal was all weird. I just told someone the other day, if you watch this show, you're going to be so frustrated by the end of it because the son continually makes dumb decisions. I can understand one mistake, but when you go and start to date the daughter or the sister of the man that you killed, the boy that you killed, you got something else going on. Buddy is a psychopath, and we start to see as his life unravels, we start to see how not okay he is. First of all, we find out he's sleeping with his sister, but he's sleeping with his teacher. He's a 17-year-old kid sleeping with his teacher. So him and the teacher sick. So we find that out. We find out he does have anger issues. He almost beat up his best friend in school, got him kicked out of school. And then we find out that he's a psycho because he wants to go date and intentionally get into the life and the mix of the sister of the person that he killed. Now, of course, she doesn't know that, but he does. So we see that he's a complete psychopath. But the thing that I love about the series and how it came to a close, a lot of people have mixed reviews on the ending. I love the finale. I love the finale because it showed me this. And I think the message they wanted us to walk away with this. By dude getting killed. So Kofi's little brother, I can't even remember his name. He's a part of the gang. He wants to be the bank. He wants to be the bank for the desires. Kofi's brother goes to the hotel to shoot Carlo after he gets off for killing his brother. He wants to go shoot him. He misses and shoots Adam, the judge's son. This is how this ends. And again, I gave you a spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it, knowing the end, I would still watch it. As a matter of fact, I called the end. I wish my wife was here to tell you this now. I told her, I said, this boy is going to go to the hotel to shoot the brother, and he's going to accidentally shoot Adam and kill him. I called it. I love the poetic justice of the series ending right where it began, with a 17-year-old boy on the ground, coughing up blood, choking on his own blood, dying. That sounds crazy, but justice was served in a roundabout way. Even though that's not who Kofi's brother meant to kill, even though that's not who those bullets were meant for, he essentially got the right person. He wanted to avenge the death of his brother, and his brother never would have died if Adam wouldn't have ran over the Baxter son with the car. That is what started the entire chain of events. And for the entire time, you see how the system is working for the people who run the system. As a judge, the way he was manipulating the case of Carlo Baxter. You know what it made me realize? It's going to take a turn. It made me realize how flimsy court cases can be. And it made me think about Bill Cosby. It's time to end the podcast when you start to talk about Bill Cosby. But what I'm saying is this. It made me think about Bill Cosby because one day, I don't know how, I stumbled upon a live stream of the court hearing for Bill Cosby. I don't know how. It was on my YouTube. I watch stand-up comedy every single day, all day. So maybe they'd be like, you like comedy. You like Cosby. Here's Cosby. And it wasn't the Cosby I wanted to see, right? It wasn't jokes about his family and chocolate cake. It wasn't America's dad, okay? It was American's rapist, allegedly. And his lawyers going to battle with the state on these cases. And I'm listening to it. I'm watching. I'm kind of doing dishes or something. So I got my headphones on. I'm not really watching it, but I'm listening to it. And the evidence that they have against him, not the evidence in public opinion, but the written sworn testimonies that they have in the case, were so flimsy. There's no way you can convict somebody of what they convicted him of, given the evidence that they had. There's no way. None of it stood up. Even the judges, I think this was an appeal with the Supreme Court, even they were poking holes in the evidence too. Like, how did you do this with this and this and that? That was one thing. Another thing was, he had an agreement with the DA or whoever that he could give a statement and receive immunity. And so the little bit of information that he did give, saying that, yes, we had sex, but it was consensual. Yes, we did quaaludes together, but it was also consensual. I never did any. That little information that he did give that they built their entire case on, then it just became his word versus theirs. It's like, yes, I did it, but it was consensual. Yes, you did it. No, it wasn't consensual. He only gave that statement because they promised them in writing immunity. But just before or just after that judge, whoever gave him immunity, leaves the circuit and a new judge steps in, they went after him. What I'm saying is, whether you believe he did it or not, the fix was in and it didn't matter. It didn't matter because the fix was in. And that's what I saw on Your Honor in this court case against Carlo Baxter. He messed up a billion times on the stand. He called the lawyer a cunt. He lied in his testimony over and over, but it didn't matter because the fix was in. And at that point, I started to say, how long is the system going to screw over the people? Is there no justice anywhere on this show? Now you got two families, two gangs, right? The Baxters and the Desires fighting against each other over something this other kid started. So now it's being bloodshed between those two. And they can't even get justice there because, you know, allegedly one of the Desires kills the son of the Baxters, which he didn't. So they send their son to kill Kofi. So now the Desires are down one over the simple fact that they didn't do that. And still, the Baxter family wants to send a bigger message, so they blow up the entire house, killing a mother and three children. And I'm sitting watching, like, where's the justice in this show? And you don't get it. They hold it from you. They withhold justice until the very last episode. Now, I hear that there's no season two. I hear that's how they're going to leave it. I wouldn't be mad at that. But there are so many unanswered storylines that they have to come back and tell me. I would want to know, okay, what happens to the kid now that he shot somebody and killed someone? How does the judge continue to be a judge now that the detective and all of his friends who were on the good side of the law found out what he did? Even though the son is dead and they know it wasn't him, he still helped cover up a murder. So what do we do now? Does the Baxter family say, all right, our hands are clean of this. We got the actual killer of our son and our other son is free. What happens to the black gang? How do they try to reconcile all these things that are happening? So many unanswered questions, but a really good show. I would definitely recommend that all of you guys go and check it out. It's called Your Honor on Showtime. They're going to get your money because the show was just that good, but it was worth every penny, I don't know, that I'm even paying to Showtime. So should we end it right there? I think that's a good episode. I do have a marriage advice nobody asked for, but I don't know. Should we end it right there? You know what? I'm going to do it because, like I said, my friend texted me this week and said that he enjoys this segment. And I do, too. So I don't want to leave it out. So I'm going to do it. This one is another relationship question from Reddit, of course. And the title of this one is Bounce Back After Bad Sex. Now, we don't do names on this show because I don't want to ruin anyone's anonymity. A lot of people put fake names on Reddit anyway because they don't want you to know who it is and who it's from. But I will tell you the person who wrote this is a woman. I'm only telling you that because I think it's important to the story. So, the question is, when you and your spouse have a bad sex session, should you try again immediately? Stop the clock. Time out. Pause. Full. Stop the clock. I didn't have to tell you this is a woman. You knew after you read that part of the question. First of all, if we have sex, there's no try again immediately. Not for me. Not for most men. What do you mean immediately? Like, you mean I just finished and you want to start again? This ain't a reset button. I ain't a Sega Genesis. There's some work that has to be done before we go again. It's like a power surge. You got to go hit the reset button on the whole grid and then give me some time to come back on, because there's no start again immediately. And also, here's the thing. When you're a guy, what's bad sex really? What? I finished too soon? Not for me. I finished when I was ready. Maybe I finished too soon for you. And maybe if I have empathy, I feel bad for you. But that's not bad sex to me. I got the job done. But let me continue to read on. She says, when you and your spouse have had bad sex, a bad sex session. I like that she called it a session. Should you try again immediately? Or put some time between sessions. Well, definitely, no matter what the advice is, you got to give me some time. I'm going to need 35, 45, 24 hours. I'm going to need some time. You know what I mean? I'm going to need some time. She said, for instance, let's say you have sex twice a week. If sex goes badly on Saturday night, too short, too long, or one or both spouses unsatisfied. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. She's unhappy with having the sex that they're having, or a sexual episode that they have, which happens. And I hear the older you get, the more it happens. She's unhappy with it, but they have scheduled sex days. And so she wants to know, can she get back in it? She wants to know if she can get some more loving before the schedule is up. Well, listen, here's what I believe. I don't believe that you should have a sex schedule that's so strenuous that you have to stick to it. Does that make sense? Like, if you want to set aside time specifically for you and your mate to connect in a physical way, I think that's dope. Matter of fact, round of applause for you. I think that's amazing, right? You and your husband have said, hey, on Saturday and on Wednesday, those are going to be the time where we have our sex sessions. That's what you said, right? I love that. But that doesn't mean that if you feel it and get a little Sunday night vibe, that you say, ah, can't do it. It's Sunday night. I got to wait till Wednesday. Right. Ah, it's Tuesday. I got to wait 24 hours. Somebody start the clock. It's not, it shouldn't be one of those things. Whenever you guys feel it, you should be able to go and do what you need to do. That's a part of the reason why you got married. You're free to be able to do that whenever you want. So you don't have to put restrictions on it to say it only should happen twice a week. The other thing I would say is this. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with your husband. Not too honest. Ease him into the honesty with what I'm about to say. But be honest. The truth is, you had bad sex. He didn't. How do I know that? Well, all the circumstances that you gave around bad sex aren't bad sex to men. It was too short. Ah, not for him. But we did it too long. Ah, not for him. I've never heard a man complain about having sex for too long. I've heard women do it. I've heard women say, oh, are you not done yet? Why isn't it happening? I've heard that. I've never heard in all of my years, in all of my ears, heard a man complain, man, I like having sex with shorty, but it's just too long. What? Never. So the problem is you're unsatisfied with the area of your sex life. That's a conversation that you guys should have together. It's not just one episode. It's not just if you feel so restricted that you can't go back and do it again after an hour or a day or whatever because it's not on the schedule. That's a conversation that you guys need to have. You don't have to, the finish is, it says, should we wait until Wednesday or Sunday night where you would normally do it and do it again? Or should we put more distance in between there? I think that you should go at it as much as you can, as often as you can. And, you know, if it's bad for you on multiple occasions and it's something that keeps coming up, it's probably not keep coming up if it's bad for you. I should rephrase that. If it's something that keeps occurring over and over and it's bad for you, you guys need to talk about that. Most men want to please their wives. We don't want to be bad at sex. But some men may not know how to do it the way you need it done. Or maybe not thinking about it as much. Or maybe, quite frankly, some men are just selfish during sex and they think about getting their pleasure and getting out. So maybe that's a conversation that you guys need to have that may be something deeper in your relationship that you guys need to talk about. But you shouldn't have schedules so tight and so strenuous that you only have 2 days out of the week where you can touch each other and the other days you're none. I don't think that's a healthy situation. So there you have it. Marriage advice nobody asked for from Tony R. Sanders. Purchase my book, available on SoundCloud. That's the end of this episode, guys. Love having fun with you. Love talking to you. Make sure you share this podcast episode with a friend. That's the only way this podcast is going to grow. I've been thinking a lot about getting this podcast to grow. Focus on the content. Focus on the look, the feel. We got a long way to go. But it only grows through the hardcore people who listen to it every week, like you guys, and you putting it out there for your friends to listen to. And I appreciate that. So I'll see you guys next week on In My Own Words. Peace.